Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
This is the Cactus League Report.
Going, goodbye baseball!
On Seattle Sports, the Seattle Sports app, and seattlesports.com. Brought to you by Pacific Lamp and Supply. Now, the Cactus League Report.
It is time once again for the Cactus League Report. It's great to have you with us, Gary Hill, Shannon Dreyer. Shannon, this is it. This is the last Cactus League Report of the season. Can you believe it?
It's hard to believe. It feels like we just got here yesterday. No, it doesn't.
No, it does not. It feels like we've been here forever.
Yeah, this has been a long one, but it's been a fun one watching everything that's happened. And, man, I think just kind of the theme of this one is talent, talent, talent. Mm.
Especially on the pitching side, it has been so impressive to watch the arms, especially the arms that we haven't got a chance to see. Bryce Miller is the one that I think leaps out for me, and probably for everyone that's never seen him before. He was really impressive in camp, and a guy where I watch him pitch, and you can easily envision how he could help this team sooner than later if need be.
What was really exciting about what we saw, and it was his first start, and thank you, if folks should know, this would not have been brought to you over the airwaves if not for Gary Hill making the audible, saying we really need to be at that game in the split squad, not the one we're scheduled for. Can I do that?
Yeah, that was really the question. It's like, can we do it? And
yes.
Like, well, no one's ever done it before.
I mean, we're radio, we're portable. Why not? We just can put on a show anywhere.
Yeah, we can do it. So we did it.
So off to Surprise we went. And surprise, we had a broadcast.
Surprise.
It was fantastic. And what was really neat about that, because I haven't had as much of a chance to see him in games because he has been coming in later, and that's usually when we're in the clubhouse with the starting pitcher. I've seen bullpens and live BPs. But I was like, that velocity is not what I've really been hearing about. It looks pretty good, but he wasn't his sharpest. And Scott Servais admitted that last night, and he did admit to some nerves as well. But the big takeaway was, you know, some of the pitches were good. Some of them weren't as good as they could be. It's March. He's not there yet, and he's like, learned I can still figure out a way against a big league lineup, which is really exciting.
It is exciting. And, you know, as we watch these spring training games, it's easy for us to forget. But when you look at Bryce Miller, and I know it's a spring game, but it's still Corey Seager. It's still Marcus Semien. And he's facing these kind of hitters for the very first time, spring training or not.
And later in the games, he's not as much. And Jacob deGrom, who he grew up watching, is on the other side, and let's throw in he's from Texas as well. So he said it was totally different. Just coming into games, he didn't feel any nerves. Having time to think about it, he did feel the nerves, but he got that out of the way. But it really reminded me of a year ago when we were talking to Matt Brash and George Kirby after starts, and what really kind of blew me away was the confidence they had. I'm like, you guys are not even rookies. You are pre-rookies. But they both said, you know, they felt they could get anybody out on their good days with their good stuff. And Bryce said it in a little bit of a different manner with a good Texas twang to it, which was quite great. It's going to be fun to have that up in Seattle someday as well. But that's the confidence they have. They know they just need to see that their stuff plays. And that was something that both Matt Brash and George Kirby picked up last spring. And that is something that Bryce Miller has picked up this spring. And like George last year, Bryce will head back to the minor leagues and just kind of hone things. But now he knows what to expect. And I think some big questions have been asked. And if a need arises in the rotation or in the bullpen, it's not hard to imagine he would be the first up. And the stuff is very exciting.
Very exciting. I agree. For me, like the last remaining question, outside of like who fills out the end of the roster, the big question that has emerged is Dylan Moore not starting the season on the roster, who was expected to fill a pretty big spot as a platoon guy in the middle infield. I'm interested to see how that situation shakes out as we start this season.
Yeah, we'll keep a close eye on that over the next couple of days. But, you know, I do think that you're going to start seeing the games look more like regular season games. They're going to be putting a lot more of their set, their infield defense is a little bit different than what we've been seeing. And that'll play into it, too, because defense at second base is very important to this team now that you have the shift restrictions. So it'll be interesting to see where they go there. I think the big question is somebody brought in, or can they find what they need here right now? I'm intrigued to see maybe a little bit more of Sam Haggerty at second base. I've seen him doing pre-work before the games there, but we haven't seen him over there since Dylan was knocked out. I think that could be an option. Mason McCoy is certainly a very nice defensive player. Good to see J.P. Crawford back at shortstop. So, it's the pieces are there. The question is do they find the reinforcement from within the organization right now, or is there a last-minute surprise? You know, think back a few years ago to, that's Tom Murphy who's meeting us in Seattle. And how nice did that turn out?
Yeah, no, that turned out great. And I'm glad you spotlighted kind of how the Mariners are going to do things defensively after this day off and get more aggressive, more regular season-like. I'm curious to see how that shakes out. Because, as Scott pointed out, teams have approached it differently this spring. Some have been more aggressive than others. And as we know, the Mariners have been aggressive, shifting defensively in the past. Yeah. And I imagine they will be as aggressive as the law will allow at this point. So I'm curious to see what that looks like.
Yeah, and everything that they're doing right now. It's been kind of a surprise to me that we haven't seen, I think, as much impact as I thought we would see. We're not seeing as much base stealing. I think that could change when the season starts. I think those opportunities are going to be there. You haven't seen the extreme shifts. And I don't think that's a direction that the Mariners are going to be going in a different direction. That's not something that they were planning on doing. So I think that there's some things that we're going to see when the lights get flipped on that,
Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be a fun show. We're going to catch up. Rick had a chance to stay with A.J. Pollock, speaking of a guy who's going to play a big role coming up. He has that conversation coming up. And we sit down with Andres Munoz coming up as well, which is a really fun conversation.
He's really come out of his shell this spring, and it's been great to see.
Yeah. Well, we have a moment, too. I know you have a ton of stuff that has gone up. Why don't you update everyone on what you have going?
I've got a couple of video pieces up. The Tom Murphy one is about a week old now. I've got a new one, and Tom talks about his setup at home and his Rocky IV training style.
Yes.
What I didn't write up in the piece, but what's in the video, which is kind of interesting, is really how he handles pitchers and his philosophy in handling pitchers. It's a little bit different than some catchers. It kind of caught me off guard, but very interesting nonetheless. And then I had a similar conversation with video with George Kirby, and really got into, and I talked to some others about how he broke out that two-seamer. And it got broken out a lot sooner in a lot different situation than pitching coach Pete Woodworth thought it would. And talked to Cal Raleigh about that, talked to George about that. And also something that you might not know about George. If you've ever noticed, he doesn't sit in the dugout in between innings in his start, and when the Mariners are hitting in his starts. And he'll talk a little bit about why and what he's doing while the guys are out there trying to get him runs.
Yeah, for those that haven't heard that story of the two-seamer, I won't give it away now, but go check out the video. It's a great story. It's a great story. All right, we are underway. It is the final Cactus League report of the spring season. We'll come back. We're going to hear from Andres Munoz coming up right after this.
Now, back to the Cactus League Report, brought to you by Pacific Lamp and Supply, live from Mariners Spring Training in Arizona.
It is the Cactus League Report. Mariners opening day is sold out. You can still get in on the fun during their first homestand March 31st, Mariners Crossbody Bag Night. Saturday, April 1st is Julio's bobblehead debut. Sunday, April 2nd is a Luis Castillo Kids t-shirt giveaway. You can get your tickets at Mariners.com. Final Cactus League Report of the season. We had a chance to sit down with Mariners relief ace Andres Munoz. When was it baseball? When did you fall in love with playing baseball?
I started playing baseball. Was more like a hobby thing. I don't remember exactly when, but I was like 6-7 years old, and my mother wanted to take me out of the streets. They don't want me to hang out too much in the streets, and she bring me to baseball. We been like that for 2 or 3 years. After she sent me to track and field too, so I can be all the time in a place to do something, don't be on the streets, like especially in the night. And there's when everything starts.
Triple jump, right? That was your track and field?
Yes.
Why the triple jump? How did that happen?
I did a couple different things. I threw javelin a little bit. I did a little bit of 100 meters. I wasn't that good, but the first time that I tried triple jump, we start with a normal jump. Mm-hmm. And I was really good on it. And when I tried the first time triple jump, I was good too. So, and I like more the triple jump, the way that you have to use all your legs, not just one. And that helped me a lot to get stronger in the legs. Mm. And I use it more to off-season workout too. Mm. And that helped me a lot.
Now, you had family that threw the javelin too, right?
Yes, my two older brothers threw javelin. They gave him a scholarship in the best university in Mexico for throw javelin.
Really?
And was really cool. They are very good in that. Right now, they all my two brothers finish the school, but that helped them a lot.
I would think with your arm, you'd be pretty good at throwing the javelin too.
I think that too, but when I try it, doesn't work. It's too much mechanic thing that I have to do over there, and too much rotation mm-hmm. of the arm, and mix those two things: the baseball, the throwing the ball, and the javelin is two different things. My brother tried it, and he broke his olecranon.
Really?
Three parts.
Oh no! Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Your family, they seem to be part of your team.
Yes.
They're all involved in what you do. Can you talk about how involved your brothers are?
My two brothers, they are doing my scouting report. Mm. And they tell me, they give me the scouting reports. I read it and we look it together. So before the series starts, we just look everything and see every hitter you can throw. This guy, fastball ups, you can throw a lot of sliders with this guy and he's not going to hit it. And that is the kind of we do before the games. And we maintain to do it. That even not just my brothers, even my dad, my mom, mm-hmm. everybody is involved in that thing, my wife. When my brother doesn't have time to do my scouting report, my wife do it. So, and she already know how to do it.
It's a whole team effort.
Mm-hmm.
One of your brothers catches you, too, in the off-season, right?
Yes, he catch me in the off-season. When I start to throw harder, it was a little bit more hard to him. But was really impressive how he just put the chest protector and he just do it. And I hit him a couple times when I threw the sliders. I hit him a couple times in the legs when I threw my fastballs. And when I was practicing my sinkers, I hit him a couple times, too. But I don't know. I am so grateful to have that family because they support me. They support me in all the things that I do, every game, every like. My family are awesome.
Your brother's really brave. Does he have a catching background, or is he just catching?
He just catch.
He just.
we buy this thing for the miles per hour.
Oh, radar gun.
The radar gun.
Yeah,
and one time I feel really good, and I say, I'm going to throw the hardest that I can. And I threw it. I hit 100, and I hit my brother in the chest at 100.
Did he have the glove up and just missed it?
He just missed it because that thing moves a little bit. Yeah. So
yes, it does.
So, but with the time, he gets better like as catching too. And he's really good right now. He can catch me all my bullpens, and he's really good.
That's amazing. I couldn't catch your bullpens. I find that to be incredible. That's great. You mentioned your sinker. When did you start messing around with the two-seam?
I've been working in that for probably a year. During the season, the half of the season, I've been working on it, but I never turned in games. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel so comfortable to throw it yet. But I was thinking that the hitter sees something different from me because I know I just have a full year in the big leagues, but They are really good at studying the hitters. Mm-hmm. The pitchers, sorry. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think they see all my stuff too much, and they're going to this year is going to be different, I think, because they're going to be more prepared for the slider. So I think it was a good idea to add that pitch to try to confuse the hitter. I know they are looking for my fastball. Mm-hmm. That is when I have a chance to throw a lot of sliders to try to they swing and miss. But I know they're going to be ready for that this mm-hmm. year. And I need to have something else to, and especially with my sinker that is almost the same speed as my fastball. So, and with the movement, I feel it's going to work really good. As soon as I control it and command to throw whatever I want, it's going to be good.
What kind of movement does a two-seamer, what does that look like to the hitter?
It's more drop.
Okay.
Drops more than, but I don't know, I'm going to keep working on it. I have to do a lot of things to command mm-hmm. the sinker, but I don't know if it's going to work, but if it works, it's going to be good.
Yeah. You had such a great year last year, and especially from, I guess, June on, it was unbelievable. What was the difference from that point of the season on to the end of the year for you and just how good you were?
I used my mindset, like the thing how I think was like going to throw the hardest that I can all the time. And as soon as I start to do that, I start to come and better my fastball, to come and better my slider. Mm. And I don't know, when I realized that my fastball is good and my slider is really good too, mm-hmm. I start to have a lot of confidence on both of the pitches, and I can throw in every count. And as soon as I start to throw hard and try to throw hard every time, everything starts to change, and the results come after that.
Yeah, so you were throwing your slider as hard as you could, and that was different than before?
Yes. Before that was like I tried to point it. I tried to put in the circle point. Mm-hmm. And when I changed that mind of I already got this, I'm going to throw the hardest that I can, everything starts to work better.
You just said your slider was pretty good. I think you're underselling your slider. I think it's more than pretty good. How did you develop such a great weapon?
Practicing.
Yeah.
Just throw it every day. Work a lot in the touching fields and all that. Every day I get on the mound and I try to work in something. I don't go just to throw. I try in my bullpens, in everything that I do, I just try to work in things, because as soon as you work, the more that you work, the better you're going to get, is my thought.
Have you always thrown it the same way, or has it kind of changed over time?
I threw it like that when I was in the Fall League. In 2017, and works really good. For some reason, I stopped doing it, and I start to have problems with my slider. And as soon as I start to throw it the hardest that I can again, start to works.
When you look at this season, what do you want to accomplish? What are your goals for this year?
Like probably everybody going to say the same thing, but my goal is to win the World Series. My goal is to. I like a lot to be in the playoffs, and I want that thing to repeat. And I don't know, that is my goal, like win the World Series. Doesn't matter if I am set up, doesn't matter if I throw the fifth inning, like I just want to win.
How much fun was last year for you?
A lot, especially in the playoffs. That series in Toronto was crazy. It's the best moment that I have in my life. Hmm.
Do you have a favorite moment from last year?
Probably when I get, technically wasn't a save, but when I finished the outing, when I finished the game in Toronto, the first game, that was my special moment, the moment that I always going to remember.
We always see you matched up against Otani and Trout, the greatest this game has to offer. How much do you enjoy those matchups facing the best in this game?
I don't know, it's special to be part of that type of guy who face the best hitters in the world. But I don't know, I always say it, like everybody is in the big league for some reason. Doesn't matter who we face. Some people have better tools, but I don't know, I feel everybody has something to be careful when I am pitching. Like, doesn't matter who he is, I'm going to throw the hardest that I can all the time. I'm going to try to throw my best slider all the time, because you never know who. Everybody are good in this league, so you have to be worried about everybody.
Mm, that's a good point. Diego Castillo has done so much in this game. How much of an influence has he been on you in your young career?
He helped me a lot.
Yeah.
During the tough times that I have during the season last year, the first half, he was one of the guys who tried to help me and tried to convince me that I am good, that everything is good. You just have to go and attack the hitters. He is really good. He is probably my best friend here. Mm. So he helped me a lot.
People watch you pitch and they see you be dominant and they see you throw 100 and with the great slider. And yet even you can struggle with confidence. And everyone can in this game. When you think about the mental part of this game and the failure that everyone has, and especially you pitching late in the ball games, how do you deal with the emotions and how difficult it can be at times?
I just take the things day by day. Mm. Like when some days doesn't go how you want, like you have to come up the next day and try to do the best that you can. And don't forget about it, because I don't think it's good to forget about the things that happen. But just don't commit the same errors that you did before. Like, try to work on it, all that things. But in the mental, in the mental thing is your is more like every time that you go up there is a good opportunity to get to go to do the best effort that you can. Mm. And I don't know. I just don't think in the day before. I just every time that I get on the mound, I just throw the hardest that I can have. I know I repeat that a lot, but it's my mindset. Like, it's always I do that.
What does it feel like to throw 100 miles per hour?
Feels really good. But I know how the hitters on the big leagues are, so you can repeat two or three times. Probably two is good, but three times in a row, 100, they're going to get that. They are too good to – they are just really, really quick. So you have to be careful with that. The first time that I get to the big leagues, I was all the time throw the pitch and look back there to see how miles per hour I was throwing. But now it's just like how the hitter looks, how he reacts to that. And I'm thinking more in the game except for how many miles I am throwing. Mm.
Yeah. How much have you enjoyed Seattle?
Really good.
Yeah.
The fans are really good. We feel the support that they give us. We do everything that we do for our family and for the fans. And the way that they support us was incredible.
Yeah. What do you think about your bullpen group as a whole? When you look around and you know, you see Brash and Seawald and Diego and everyone else, what do you think of the group?
We have a lot of talent over there. We have a lot of talent, and we know the important thing for us is like we take each other back. Like we help each other. We are not like, oh, I am doing good, he's doing bad. And don't say anything to the people, to the pitcher that is not doing the things well. We try to help him, and I think that is the most important thing. Try to help everybody. Like, maybe you don't know who is going to tell you something that's going to help you. And sometimes I take advantage of the people who even are not in the big leagues. And you never know where you learn, when you're going to learn things from. Doesn't matter who he is. You're going to learn things for everybody.
Yeah. Well, Andres, thank you for taking all the time today. We really appreciate it. And congrats on all the success. We can't wait to see you out there again.
Thank you so much.
There was Andres Munoz. We'll come back. Rick Riz sat down with AJ Pollock. We'll get to that right after this.
Now back to the Cactus League Report, brought to you by Pacific Lamp and Supply, live from Mariners spring training in Arizona.
It's a Cactus League Report. Off day for the Mariners today. Back in action tomorrow. So we're now less than a week from spring training coming to an end. Come out to T-Mobile Park the day before opening day, the Mariners Diamond Derby and Skills Challenge on Wednesday, March 29th at 3 p.m. Fans can watch the squad work out as they get ready for the season. There'll be a home run derby, fungo golf, bunt battle, so much more. Get your tickets at Mariners.com/Diamond Derby. Well, A.J. Pollock, a new part of the team this year, as we hand things over to Rick Riz with
one of the newest Mariners.
Well, a chance to visit with new Mariners outfielder A.J. Pollock. A.J., you've had an outstanding career in the big leagues with the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Dodgers winning the World Series. We'll talk about that in a moment. Last year with the Chicago White Sox, how did it come about that you're now a Seattle Mariner?
Me and my wife, family just kind of got together and thought, we just explore the market and explore the teams and be able to get to choose our team. And we were excited when Seattle showed interest, and and when it came to be, it was awesome. It was something that, you know, I love the team. I love the way they go about their business, kind of like the brand of baseball that they were playing. And I love the hype. You know, I loved how the city was getting behind the team. Yeah. And there was just a lot of good energy about this club, and it seemed like a really family oriented organization for my wife and kids, and I just checked a lot of boxes for us.
Yeah, it really is. You were with the Chicago White Sox last year. What did you see from the other dugout about this ball club that finally made it to the postseason, the playoffs, for the first time in 21 years?
I think the arms were the first thing that stood out to me. This is the first time I played in the American League, and, you know, I was doing all my scouting myself and just kind of watching the velocity and arm after arm. I was kind of just eyes were open, like, wow, these guys got some guys. Yeah. Starting pitching was good. Obviously, you made a pretty good trade for Castillo in the middle of the year, but I think the pieces for the pitching staff were already there. And then all the role players, and, you know, I feel like the ingredients are all there. It just was a really cool team to look at, and I was paying attention to, you know, them making the playoffs and stuff. That was such a cool just a cool way for that to happen. Seemed like the whole city was just right behind them, and it was really cool to watch.
No, it was a lot of fun. 47,000 fans at T-Mobile Park there late in the year in the postseason. Of course, one of the big pieces, you coming over a veteran outfielder to, you know, get a lot of playing time out there in left field. How do you see your role with the ball club? What did Jerry tell you and Scott Servais? Because you bring a lot to this table.
Yeah, it's baseball. You know, it's a lot of it's like an algorithm now. You know, it's not like his is a bench guy. It's more you kind of you communicate with the manager. You communicate, you know, the front office all communicate together. And I'll definitely face lefties, it looks like. And, you know, there'll be a couple righties that look like it would be a good matchup for me that they said they'll get me in there with. And that's what they say. Honestly, I'm just ready to play whenever they call my name. Yeah. It's going to be exciting to just play a good role in this team. You know, I just want to just be one of the guys, get to work, and, get build every day.
I think one of your key roles, too, is to help out some of the younger players, and somebody did that for you. And the Mariners have so much talent here, A.J., and the kid is going to spend some time in left field with you, and Jared Kelnick is having a great spring. Julio Rodriguez out in center field, American League Rookie of the Year. What are you seeing from Kelnick and Julio, but what sort of things are you talking about with Jared Kelnick? This kid has been outstanding this spring.
Yeah, he's super, super talented, so I'm excited to be a part of that. And he's just a good guy. He's a fun guy to be around. Brings a lot of energy. I'm really excited. You know, when we get in the season, that's when, you know, when the stuff matters is when real emotions and real stuff come out. And that's what's fun. You know, that's what's you're going to go through the ups and downs in the season. And, you know, you get to do that with other guys and you know, young guys, older guys. Yeah. You all go through the same crazy cycle of baseball. And I'm just excited. I'm glad I got to spend a whole spring. I mean, last year, getting onto a new team, I've had about 2 days to learn faces and learn people. I'm just excited I got to spend a whole spring with these guys, and I feel like I really kind of have a good grasp of their personalities now. And then in the season, it's just going to be a lot of fun. You know, we'll just be a good group together and just get behind everyone.
So what kind of a spring has it been for A.J. Pollock? You know, at this stage of your career, you've been around the game for a long time. Is it the same as usual, or is it different now trying to keep up with the younger guys on this ball club? What kind of spring has it been for you?
Spring training is always weird for me. It's so different. You're kind of I've never had a good spring, let's say, in the last 5 years. It's a lot of just getting to work, you know, a lot of the pitching and stuff. The whole part that doesn't come into play is the scouting. A lot of the guys that, you know, you either don't know what they're throwing or you know what they're throwing and they're doing other stuff. And so it's kind of a little bit of a thing to play with. But I just look for myself, just am I getting better? Am I building? And it has been great, but it's getting a little better. So it'll get there. You know, it's just I think the routines. I love my routines, and, you know, the 1 o'clock games every day, they're great, but cramming in work before that is a challenge. And so just getting the body ready, you know, if that's good, then for me it's great. And then my bats, if I can just get a little bit more consistent as the spring training gets on, and they're getting a little bit better. We'll see. I will be ready for the season for sure.
Your bio says your name is Alan Lorenz Pollock the IV.
Yeah.
So where did the J come in?
J is actually junior. So okay. I think my mom didn't want to upset my dad's family and ruin the name that's been going on for a couple generations. And so I'm the IV, and so she ended up finding a way to make it Alan Jr., and so they just called me AJ. Yeah.
All right. That makes sense to me. Awesome. AJ, thanks for being our guest, and you're going to have one heck of a year for this ball club. We're going to have a lot of fun in Seattle. You're going to be a big reason why. Thanks a lot for the visit.
I appreciate it. Can't wait.
There was AJ Pollock with Rick Riz. Let me tell you about the Mariners Flex membership. Choose your games and seats all season long and save at least 10% or more on tickets. Plus, you'll get guaranteed access to the postseason. Become a season ticket member today at Mariners.com/flex. Coming up next, Aaron Goldsmith and I, we sat down with Corey Brock from The Athletic. We'll have that conversation coming your way right after this.
Now, back to the Cactus League Report, brought to you by Pacific Lamp and Supply, live from Mariners Spring Training in Arizona.
Welcome back to the Cactus League Report. Gary Hill alongside Aaron Goldsmith. Corey Brock from The Athletic here. Corey, it's always great to talk with you. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. How come we only do these like once a year?
That's actually a great question.
If you clean the performance up a little bit, Corey, you might be doing this more often.
Okay, I should have seen that coming.
Somebody sets the tone around here. Yeah. It's not us.
Okay, Corey, it's not you, it's us.
Fair enough. Okay. Yeah.
That's more the truth, what Gary just said.
Okay.
How's the camp been for you?
Quiet. You know, I think we were just kind of joking about it that, you know, it's been a very boring, quiet camp, and those aren't bad things.
Yeah.
You know, I think these guys are getting their work in. I think we've already seen the pitchers look like they're ready for the regular season to start. There's no real pressing questions with the roster. I think this has gone about as well as it could for the Mariners, if, you know, so. We still have a little time left before we break camp, and of course I say that now, and all you know what could still break loose. But
well, along those lines, Dylan Moore now is not going to be ready for opening day, which I think is a pretty big development when you consider he was going to be he was going to play a lot, especially against lefties, and still will play a lot, I guess, when the season starts. But it does leave a hole on the roster. When you kind of look at that scenario with Dylan Moore and the roster, what's your immediate reaction?
You know, and I'll go back to February when he signed that 3-year deal with the team. I thought, you know, I don't think a lot of people really realize what an important piece he is to this team. Because, first and foremost, he could play shortstop. And you just can't – I think we could all agree, you know, baseball we talk about being strong up the middle. But, you know, catcher and shortstop, you have to have some depth there. You can't just slide anybody over there. And so, you know, Dylan was going to play some short. He was going to be the right-handed hitting part of that platoon at second base and probably play some third base, too. And we know the Mariners want to rest some of their regulars. I think toward the end of the year, obviously, some guys were worn down, and some of that showed up in their performance. So, I think he's a critical piece. And, you know, he never really got his spring training going. They're saying 2 to 4 weeks, but I assume that's probably going to be beyond a month, you know, to get him ready. But I still think he could be a very good contributor for this team. They have to find a way to cover that moving forward, though.
Corey Brock of The Athletic is our guest. Corey, you mentioned catcher. Having Tom Murphy around every day, it feels different. I mean, he brings a lot of things to this ball club. What do you think his addition, even though he's certainly been a part of the team, but his addition, hopefully, every day this season, whether he be in the dugout or behind home plate, what does that do for this team?
They love this guy. The pitchers love this guy, and I think even the other position players really love him, respect him. And I tell you what, you know, you can measure impact in any number of ways, statistics, leadership. You know, when I watch Tom Murphy catch a bullpen over here, he has a constant dialogue with the pitchers, you know, and he's kind of pumping them up. He's kind of challenging them. I just think this guy is like a wonderful person and a wonderful player, and I think he's come upon a really good situation here. I don't think, you know, I haven't looked around the rest of baseball. I don't know if there's many teams that have a better catching situation than the Mariners. And, you know, I think, remember last year, Tom was hitting the ball really well at the time he got hurt. But both these guys have supreme pitcher care, for lack of a better term. That's a pretty bad term. But I think you know what I mean. I mean,
we can workshop it.
Yeah, we could edit that out. But they take a keen interest in you know, in their pitchers, and you know, really devote a big part of their game to that. And you know, there's an offensive element too. But yeah, Tom, for my money. And he is a lot of fun, Aaron. I mean, taking batting practice, he's got like Slipknot playing over the loudspeaker, which I'm sure goes over pretty well with the families on the backfield. But just a fun guy, a real genuine guy, and I think people really gravitate toward him.
You're turning on your own mic. You're doing editing during.
You press the cough button.
Yeah, you are a radio pro.
Yeah, it's. I have two buttons to work with here, and I've used both of them.
I do wonder where the Mariners will fit in terms of home runs from the catcher position. Because when you think about Murphy playing primarily, I think, against lefties, it will shake out. And Cal Raleigh, who knows how many he'll end up hitting this year. I just wonder from that position, like, how many they'll end up and where that puts them.
Are you wanting Corey to make a prediction?
I do.
Right now?
I would like you to make a prediction too. How many home runs will the catching as a catcher? So DH doesn't count as a catcher.
Oh, it doesn't count as DH.
No, this is going to be as a catcher. Okay, how many home runs as a catcher will the Mariners hit this year?
I'm going to set it at my number is 38 and a half.
No.
Yeah, I was going to say 35. Yeah, I think Cal's going to hit a bunch, and I think Tom's got good raw power as well.
Now, for perspective, the White Sox hit 6 last year as a catcher. So just to scale it, that's a pretty good number.
Hey, not to make this the Corey Brock catcher pitcher care conversation, although it's off to a great start.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Corey, you recently wrote a piece about Cal and his nickname, the Big Dumper.
Yeah.
And that really, really the roots and the birthplace of all this. And I don't want you to give away the story, but I want to know how much fun it was for you to write that piece.
It was a ton of fun. You know, and I jokingly said when the story came out, you know, at The Athletic we do a lot of, you know, important and critical stories. This isn't one of them. This is a hoot, you know, and, you know, I've been thinking about it for a long time. Like, okay, Big Dumper, I kind of heard stories. They got it from Jared Kelnick, I think, at the alt site in 2020. But as I dug a little bit more, I found that the roots of that, not the nickname, but Cal maybe being teased a little bit for his backside, go back a little deeper than that. So I'd encourage anyone to look at the story on The Athletic. There's some really fun quotes in there that carry the story. And again, this is kind of what we do, right? It's kind of storytelling. You know, I could tell you about a guy's strained groin, or I could tell you about the Big Dumper. What would you rather read?
I mean, it is undeniably the best active nickname in Major League Baseball.
I totally agree. I mean, what stands up to that?
It's number one. Pasquatch is probably there.
Vinny Pasquantino. We are a big fan of his nickname, Pasquatch.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it doesn't.
That's great.
It does send chills down your spine.
It's great, too, because no one has ever been called that.
It's
you know,
true.
It is unique to him.
And he loves it.
And he loves it.
He loves it now. It. And I think that's what makes it even more endearing.
Yeah, for sure.
That initially, like, you know, someone calls you Big Dumper, like, I'm not really a fan of that. Maybe we could lean into another direction here. But, you know, he's fully come around and embraced it. The fans love it.
I mean, they have Big Dumper jerseys at the ballpark.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
I've seen jerseys here. Big Dumper.
I've seen him
like
here.
Like Mariners jersey. Yeah. It's great.
And it's all because of Corey's story.
It's all because of Corey Brock.
And you know, I've known Cal, you know, since he was drafted and he came in the organization. I interviewed him when he was in the minors. And, you know, a pretty quiet and reserved guy. But I think his personality, I would even say in the last year, has really come out a little bit. And that, for me, that's kind of been fun to see.
I would narrow it down even, I mean, I'm not including the off season, right? We're not around him. But the last 2 months of the season, mm-hmm. 3 months of the season. He flipped a switch. There's no question.
Yeah, something kind of changed with him. And then, of course, you know, he became everyone's darling for that moment against the A's on September 30th, I guess. And just, you know, he played with that thumb injury. Like,
right.
I don't think any of us realized how bad that was. I mean,
But you've written with an injury close to that bad.
Yeah, somehow no one ever pointed it out, but thanks.
But you keep banging away on that keyboard,
yeah,
Corey.
I know. I'm just, you know, I'm a gamer, you know.
That's what Scott says.
That's what he always say, yeah.
Is that what he says? On or off the record. But
I do wonder, it's interesting, you're covering a team now that so much of the core has, you've known for a while, and you've seen kind of age through this process. How is that different than covering like a veteran group that kind of comes from different places?
Well, I'll tell you what, and I'm glad we made the decision. Maybe it was 2019 when we knew this team was going to be awful, right? And they were, aside from that, you know, untenable fast start they got off to, right? So, you know, I spent some time at minor league affiliates that summer. I went to Arkansas, Modesto, Everett. And I got to know some of these prospects, you know, that they had drafted, guys that they're building around. Logan Gilbert, I talked to him in Modesto. Oh, I saw George Kirby in Hillsboro when Everett was playing there. Talked to Cal in the minors. And, you know, it's been fun just to see these guys at the outset of their professional careers and see where they're at now. And for me professionally, I have a good relationship with these guys. You know, we're not friends. That's not the line of work I'm in, you know, but we have a good relationship.
We know.
What? We're friends, aren't we?
We are friends, yes.
Yeah. We are friendly.
We're
friendly.
Hey, Gary and I, we got Pierce County ties.
Yeah, we do.
You'll never understand that.
That's not what he says.
Yeah, wow. But no, so I think because I spent some time with these guys, they know me now and, you know, they trust me and I could joke around with them. And it's but it's been fun to see them mature. Like I saw Julio over here at the complex the first winter he was here. I don't know if he might have been just before his 18th birthday or 19th birthday or whatever. Wow. And he insisted when I talked to him, the first time I met him, I wrote about this. He did his full interview in English. And I was just kind of blown away. Like it was good. It was good English, you know, but he's still learning. And when he was done, basically raced down the hallway to call his parents to tell him what he did.
Really?
Yeah, he was so proud of himself. But he insisted on doing that because that was a real priority for him. And I thought, wow, this guy's pretty special. I'd never even seen him play at that point. You know, I just kind of knew what I'd heard. But, that's kind of the guy we know, right?
Oh, 100%. New Julio stories are great. Thanks for sharing that one, Corey.
Yeah.
That's neat. That's very cool.
Yeah, feel free to pass it off as your own, Aaron.
That's what he does.
Have you been listening?
Well,
I was talking to Julio. He barely turned 18.
Yeah.
I was here in the winter in Arizona.
Sure. Just because.
I mean, the Athletic pay for it.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw a tweet. I can't remember if it was from you or from Divish, but it involved you and Divish.
Yeah.
And you took a player to go get Hawaiian barbecue in Peoria.
Yes.
More details, please.
Yeah, sure. Last spring, when I was down here, and if you remember, the lockout was still going on, so we were just, you know, watching some of these minor league kids, and I did an interview with Cade Marlowe. He was coming off a really big year, and we're just kind of, you know, shooting it a little bit afterwards, and, you know, it's like, what do you do here, and, you know, for fun. And he mentioned he goes over to one of my favorite establishments here in Peoria, Leo's Island Barbecue. And, you know, this is really good Hawaiian food. And Ryan Divish and I will go there on occasion, quite often. And But Cade says, yeah, well, yeah, I live in these apartments right by there. I go there like three times a week. I was like, oh, my goodness, that seems a little overboard, but yeah, that, good for you. And though we sort of we joked about it, Ryan and I, during the off season, and then we got here, I was like, hey, I saw Cade. I was like, Cade, hey, let's do Leo's. I'll get Ryan. So we just all met over there one day, and we had some barbecue and just kind of, you know, no work stuff. We'd ask Cade about his family and stuff. Just kind of.
You put a recorder right on the table.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, scrutinizes his order. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And yeah, like people love that on Twitter for some reason. But you know, just you know, I'm an average guy, Goldie. You know,
you're the everyman.
Yeah,
Corey.
Yeah. So and Cade, you know, he just nicest kid. If you look at his numbers the last 2 years in the minor leagues, like that's real. Hopefully he's been dinged up a little bit, but he'll be back. I'd like to see him make his big league debut. But yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That was great. I've never seen a picture quite like that. And I mean that in a nice way. Like that was really cool to see.
Yeah, I asked some stranger if she wouldn't mind taking it, and I'm glad I did. I'm sure he's going to share that with his family at the holidays and on other assorted holidays, occasions.
Yeah. Thanks, Corey. It was great to chat again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Can't wait till we talk again next year.
Yes. So, what, you think we're going to do this again?
Maybe in 2 years.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's the kind
every
of like
other year.
Maybe, you know what? Here's a great idea. This should be on a WBC schedule.
every four.
Yeah, just, you know.
I was thinking once a week. I don't know what happened there.
All right, well, you know, this will be a nice little, we'll see how this plays. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll take it from there.
Test market.
Yeah.
See how many subscriptions we get.
Exactly. That's 100% true. Yeah. Yeah, if everyone can unsubscribe from The Athletic, could read an article by Corey Brock, and then resubscribe.
Yeah.
Or subscribe for the first time after reading a Corey
article. I'd love it if everyone was an Athletic supporter.
Yeah. Nicely done.
On that note.
Perfect.
Thanks, Corey.
Thanks, guys.
There was Corey Brock from The Athletic. The Mariners have 32 value games this season. That means $10 view and bleacher, $20 main, $30 Terrace Club seats. The first three value games of the year are April 3rd to April 5th against the Angels. Get your tickets and check out the full value game schedule at mariners.com/value games. Well, that's going to do it for the Cactus League Report tonight, the final off day of the spring for the Mariners today. Back in action coming up tomorrow. Mariners taking on the Dodgers at home, 6:40 first pitch. Hope you have a chance to join us. Then the Reds the following day, the final road. Well, I guess not technically the final road spring training game. They do play the Padres on the road, but here in Peoria. Split squad coming up this weekend as well, as we are in the waning days of spring training before opening day on Thursday the 30th. That's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks a lot to Shannon Dreyer, Aaron Goldsmith, Rick Riz. This is Gary Hill saying so long. We'll talk to you tomorrow as the Mariners take on the Dodgers. So long.